Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Conversations with Mista. I am here with my amazing friend, Joe Johnston, who is a speaker, agent, and consultant whose mission is to empower others with the opportunity to share their stories and expertise with the world. So what's up, Joe? Thanks so much for taking the time to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Pumped to be here.
Yeah, so I know you and I have been like chatting about all things speaking and entrepreneurship and travel for like the past 3 years. We connected back when you were in your hometown in Massachusetts. I was back in Virginia before I even moved out. And we were in like really different stages. So I remember at that point you were like working in sales and you had this dream of just building something. You had this passion for speaking. That was what our entire first phone call was about. So walk us through that journey of you being at that stage in your life where you just knew something was off, you knew you wanted something more, and then you moved out to Austin and really made that your reality today.
Yeah, great question. So, gosh, where do I start? Okay, so like I jumped into like business full time 2 years ago, but started this 4.5 years ago. So I say I've been side hustling for 4.5 years, full in for 2 years. And honestly, truthfully, I don't know if I've even told you this. I think really like when it came to moving, my like end of my senior year of college, I had like a really great experience. And I basically had an experience where like I met someone and like saw a different culture, and something about that, like coming back from like end of senior year, it was after spring break. And I came back and I was like, dude, there is so much more to the world than just living here in Massachusetts. I remember like seeing that different culture. And just coming back and being like my mind was opened, right? And so long story short, took a job after college, took a couple jobs after college, and like went into the corporate world, and knew when I went to the corporate world, like it just wasn't what I wanted to do long-term, which was tough, right? Because like a lot of my friends back in Massachusetts, like that's what they did. That's what they're still doing. They're working corporate 9 to 5. That's the path. And I took that job at the same time, simultaneously, just so happened to got hit with an Instagram ad, invested in this course that basically was like, become a paid professional speaker. And so the dream early on was like, get out of corporate and be a full-time paid professional speaker, speak like 40, 50, 60 times a year. And like, Joe's the star of the show. Like you'll be traveling around, like it'd be sweet. So long story short, that started to morph. I moved down here, was side hustling for like a year, quit that job, went full in, took a couple months, was living off of savings, just like building things up. A couple months after that, took another job for a company that helped speakers grow. A year after that, so I moved down to Austin about three years ago. And about a year after joining that job, joined a business consulting group. So this was 2 years ago. Invested in a business coach and like invested on Friday, and that next Monday, quit my job. So went full into speaking. And since then have built out my speaking agency, where basically we represent about 18 different expert speakers. And we are growing that slowly, starting to get some bigger name speakers as we have bigger name opportunities. And then also run with my business partner, Aaron, for the last year, a speaking growth consulting company. So basically helping speakers who have done some speaking before, they have an expertise, they just don't know how to scale it, helping them implement lead gen systems into their business to start getting more consistent paid speaking gigs. So that's like the professional journey, man. I mean, I feel like they're so, and you've seen this, like, it's all about the journey and who you become, right? Like who I've had to become to create the life that I have now and the life that I am creating is just, it's a different version of Joe 2, 3, 4 years ago, right? And so that's like high level professional, kind of what I do. And yeah, willing to dig into any of those points as well, along that journey.
Yeah. What I'm interested about, and like, just so many people will always ask me, like, how does one get into public speaking? And that's a question I had when I got into speaking. I was like, how does this become a reality for people? And I think what I delved into 3 years ago was going to all these like free workshops and webinars hosted by, you know, speakers themselves or people building out agencies who are like, oh, come sign up for this free webinar, whatever. And so I was devouring that, trying to figure out, well, how do I just start doing this, right? So I think first and foremost, what was it about? Because I know you've done some speaking and obviously you built out an agency to help people get on stages too. What about that process lights you up? Because some people love speaking just for the sake of speaking. What is it about giving others the opportunity that you're like, no, I had to start an agency from the ground up? as opposed to like if you had built yourself on some kind of other personal brand angle and then just become like your own speaker?
Yeah, so they're all like different. All of my roles, and I really like this, all of my like different roles have different, you know, you wear a lot of hats in business, and particularly with like the different things I do, it's like I'm an agent. Like I just closed 3 deals for our speakers, you know, an hour ago. I was an agent there. I wasn't selling Joe as a speaker. I was an agent. When Joe goes and speaks at this event in August, I'm a speaker, right? When I have my group coaching call in 2 hours, I'm a consultant, I'm a coach, right? So it's like, and then, you know, on the day to day, I'm also an entrepreneur. That's the overarching of all of them. So like, they're all like different roles. And they're like different feelings. I think for me, man, what I found is, first of all, the agency was built out of like business opportunity. And what I mean by that was Joe can speak on personal development and mental and emotional wellness. But when I was calling these folks 3 years ago and they were saying, we broke speakers, great, I'm excited. What types of speakers? I would like be holding my breath, be like, say mental health, say personal wellness. And they'd say that sometimes, but then they say leadership or DEI or sexual assault or, you know, whatever. And I'd be like, well, shit, like, okay, have a nice day. That's not what I speak on, right? And so it was built out of opportunity where it was like, hey, I can't speak to a lot of these topics, but I can get speakers that can, and then they go speak and I take a commission. And so that's kind of how it was born. I would say, again, the appeals are different. The appeals for speaking for me early on was like excitement. I was like, man, that'd be so cool to like impact people. You deliver a line, you get to travel to these places that you've never traveled to. Like, it was an exciting thing. When it comes to more of like the agency and the consulting thing, first, of course, there's the business like reasoning behind it where it's infinitely scalable. I could have 100 gigs going on right now for my speakers where I'm making a grand on each of those gigs.
Totally.
And like,
yeah,
I could be here doing this podcast. Right. And so there was that to it, but what's come out of it as well, Nishtha, is like, there's just so many people that have stories and expertise and messages that I don't have. And that truthfully, I feel like are more powerful than mine. And it's like, man, if I can give someone else an opportunity, if I can help someone else make money and give them the opportunity to impact, like, it's just a very fulfilling feeling for me. You know, I think there is a line. It's like the fastest way to get rich is like help other people get rich, right? Something along those lines, right? The fastest way to become successful is like help other people become successful. And I don't know, there's just a deep feeling behind, especially when I get to go to the gigs with some of my speakers, like, I knew what Utah meant to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, that was cool to know that I was behind it and then orchestrated it. And it's just like an inner feeling of like, I knew what it meant to you. You were super grateful for it. Like, I get to text these speakers and like so many of them, like, let's go. Like, I'm super grateful. Like, I want to speak and you give me this opportunity. And to be able to give people opportunity is just a really fulfilling and satisfying feeling for me. And hey, if we can all make some money and everyone gets impacted, like, it's more fulfilling and satisfying, truthfully, than Joe being on stage speaking. That's fun, but that's more like ego gratification. You know, when people say it impacted them, like, amazing, but I think my impact is wider when I can get other people on those stages.
Yeah. I wanted to add that I totally forgot to say, in the intro, Joe, for everyone listening, is my speaking agent. So he's represented me and got me that my first in-person on stage opportunity, which was last year in Utah. So, that's what he meant when he just said Utah earlier, but that really helps paint the picture for me too. Cause when I work with my business coach, he differentiates speakers into 2 different categories. He says there's people who have their personal brands and they speak about their expertise. And then there's people who make a business about speaking. And so I feel like you've almost done both. Because when he said that to me, I was like, oh, well, I feel like Joe's like doing both. And that's what I was curious about, was where that desire and that longing to create both of those things for yourself came from. So that's really cool. I want to hear more about, like I mentioned, for so many people listening, they're probably wondering, how do I even become a public speaker? How do I get on stages? Maybe they're thinking of the 2 different angles that I just mentioned, and they don't even know which one they want to come into speaking from. So for you, from what you've seen out of everyone that you've worked with, are there any commonalities in terms of how people are getting into the speaking space and getting on stages, or is it vastly different for everyone that you work with?
Yeah, it's slightly different, but there are patterns, as with everything. First of all, like, if you have a story as a speaker, like, you're going to smash, you know what I mean? Like, and it's just going to be easier for you. Let me give you an example. We have a guy in our consulting program and he has cerebral palsy. dude, he crushes. And he speaks on building inclusive workspaces. Like, his positive response rate on like Outbound is just higher than a guy who has a story like mine. You know what I mean? Or like, sure. My business partner was the first legally blind athlete to play in a Division I football game. Wow. He does way more in speaking revenue than I do. And it's way easier for him to get positive responses and get on stage and command higher fees. Now, is he a really good speaker? Yes. Is Kevin a really good speaker? Yes. But like, if you have a story like that of overcoming adversity, or like we just brought onto our consulting, like, she's an Olympian. Like, she won a gold medal. She was like the first gold medalist in a certain sport. It's like, dude, like, you are going to be so easy to scale. You know what I mean? And so it's like, having a story, I believe, is way easier to get your foot in the door than someone who just has an expertise. On top of that, even more than a story is like celebrity factor, right? So it's like, some of these guys, like Gary Vaynerchuk, has like 50, 100K speaking opportunities, probably like 5 or 10 coming in inbound like a day. You know what I mean? Like, people just want Gary at their event and they will pay for Gary to come to their event. So yeah. It's like, that's the top one, right? Or like Lewis Howes, like any of those guys, Jay Shetty, you know what I mean? Like those guys. There's that. Then there's like the story. Again, you're still with it, like a story-based speaker. You still have to be a good speaker. You know what I mean? Like, we've met some story-based speakers that aren't good. We've met some story-based speakers that are like really, really good and like deliver that in a compelling manner. So that's super helpful. And then the next is like kind of like the expert, like, or like sort of where I classify us, right? Where it's like, dude, I don't really have a crazy story. And even some of the speakers I coach and consult don't really have a crazy story. I'm pretty good on stage and I want to put in the work to get more gigs. And so to answer your question, I think there's a couple ways people get into it. One, they either fall into it. So they're like Gary, or they even like, we brought on a lady today and she's like, all of my speaking has come from referrals and inbound. I'm successful as a real estate broker. People know me in my network and they ask me, I have $5,000. Can you come speak at my event? She's speaking like once a month just through that. Like, she's not doing anything active. Like, she makes an additional 60, 100K a year just from people coming to her because she has an expertise. So that's a way that a lot of folks get into it. And a lot of folks we coach and consult get into it. For those that are more like yourself or myself who want to be a little more active about it, it's like you really have to build it up from nothing. And one of the things that you said that, like, unfortunately, a lot of the people that like come from our situation aren't willing to do is, you're like, look, I'm like going to these free workshops. Like, I'm co-calling these people, telling them I'll do something for free. And that's kind of what you have to do early on. You know what I mean? Like, you have to, even this 100%. Dude, I have an event in August that I'm doing for free, but I'm doing it because it's going to get me in front of a bunch of HR folks. That's going to help us get into the corporate market. Right. 100%. And so a lot of speakers, like, early on, they're not willing to do the free gigs, to do them for 50 bucks, 500 bucks, $1,000, whatever. But I'd say that's how they start. And then just doing a lot of outreach, you know, tapping into your network, reaching out to people who do book speakers and getting calls on your calendar that way. And then just solving problems for people, and you slowly start to build it up. You build this client base, they come back to you year over year, and you slowly start to ramp things up from there. I'd say is kind of the different paths that folks use to get into speaking that we see.
Yeah. I also want to add to that too. I would almost say, just from my experience, even if you don't have a story, you can make a story. And so what I mean by this is, 100%. I was doing exactly that in 2020. I was cold emailing, cold calling, cold pitching to speak at schools and speak on stages. And I think the common question that I asked, I mean, either I wouldn't get responses, or the common question that I would get asked, or that people would tell me, is like, well, what are you speaking about? To whom are you speaking to? What is the message? Like, what is the entire transformation here? Right. And so almost thinking about your positioning in a way as a personal brand or as a speaker. And so in 2020, I didn't have any of that. And I think my story was creating that along the way. And I remember you told this to me when we were practicing for Utah, like over a year ago. You were like, dude, I think your story, like your speeches are your story. Like, it is your story of graduating college and creating this unconventional path. And that was ever unfolding. Like, I think now I'm at a place where I am maybe on some sort of more consistent level than I ever was back then, getting an interest to even be like a speaker, host a workshop at local community centers or schools, is because there is a little bit of that story of, this is how one connects to themselves after never having fit into the school system. And so that angle was developed over time. Not that that was even an angle that I was intentionally trying to develop or speak about, but it more so just came to be. And so that's something that I also want to get across to people, is that maybe you're trying to think so like super concretely or tangibly about what your talk will be, but it can be something that you may not even witness as like super effective or transformational, but that angle could be super impactful to audiences.
100%. And like, one of the things we say all the time too is like, what problems do you solve? You know what I mean? Because look, one of the reasons that Kevin, our client, does really well is because like, he has his story and it's super interesting, but he also like really solves the problem of creating more inclusive and diverse workforces, which is like an incredibly important topic today and very, very hot. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you have to, it can't just be the story. Your story will get you in the door. For those speakers, legally blind, like Aaron's story gets him in the door, but his ability to compellingly solve leadership or DEI-based problems are the things that gets it paid. And we tell all of our clients that. It's like, dude, we have this client today. It's like, look, we need to niche you down and position you as an expert if you want to get to 10K, because you're going to get capped out at 2,500 to 5K if you have 12 topics. It's like, you need to be the expert who speaks to these audiences on this topic and you solve this problem. That message to market fit and that niche is going to allow you to raise your fees over time, right? And so, yeah, that's huge. I think a lot of speakers miss that as well. Is like, you have a great story, but the reason we're like speakers like yourself or some speakers that I know that maybe, or me, like don't have a story, let's call it that, or, you know, the Aaron, whatever, is because they're able to solve problems and they're able to solve problems in the market. And that's all business is. And we see that with a lot of speakers. It's like, you know, even this Olympian that we brought in, it's like, hey, the Olympic thing will get you in the door, but what problems do you solve? And she's like, sure. I don't really know. It's like, no, you do. Let's dig down and find what it is. But sure, we need to get clear on, hey, cool, you're an Olympic gold medalist. Cool. You've learned things from being an Olympic gold medalist. I want your mindset. And I want your mindset to come in, and I'll pay you $20,000 to give it to my employees to make them winners and to make them more productive, right? So I think that's huge. You got to solve problems. You got to create tangible outcomes. Last thing too, Nish, then, is like, especially when you're working with like events, you got to create it. You want to like sell that you're creating a transformational experience, and you want to be able to do that, right? So this event that we just like closed with a client for September is like, it was like a multi-speaker thing. And I was like, look, like we're not like, we'll talk about leadership, but my gals are going to come in and like, they're going to create like a really fun experience. They're going to like, I want your students leaving there after 3 hours on a Saturday saying like, dude, that was so fun. Like, I'm so glad I went to that. And I learned something too, but that was also like a lot of fun. I'm glad I did that with my Saturday. And so that's something for a lot of the speakers at the really high level, they're creating experiences. It's not just a lecture. They're actually creating something that's like an experience that people are like, wow, that was awesome. That speaker was great. Right. So I think that's important as well to remember.
Yeah. Which you're like almost hitting the nail on the head with everything that I was about to ask of. Literally my next question that I wanted to ask you was like, what makes a 10K and up speaker? There's that differentiator in the industry. And I remember, again, going back to last year, we're going over the speech and we did that little intro hook that I showed you and you were like 10K right there. And so what are, I guess, three bullet points? What makes a 10K speaker? How do you identify that? You mentioned the niche, you mentioned like specific tangible problem solving, creating the experience. Would you say those are almost like the three bullet points, golden sort of template?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors. Dude, that's also so crazy. That was only like a year ago. That was like a year and 3 months
ago. That was literally a year and a few months. Yeah.
Yeah, which is so crazy. I mean, life is just so different now in the best way possible, which is a whole other rabbit hole. Yeah, I mean, like, look, like there's so many factors to it. One, you have to like be really good on stage, right? Like that's huge. But two, another thing is perception, right? And what I mean by that is like, I've like thought about this. I'm like, if you wanted to scale really fast and you had like infinite capital, like, and you had like good expertise, like just dump money into like a really good demo reel, dump money into a really good website, get super clear on your messaging, marketing and branding and positioning, have like a bunch of past clients that are like high level that could vouch for you and testimonials. And then like have like a demo reel and a couple clips that show you like being really engaging and inspiring on stage. And if you have that and you're talking to the right people, like you could charge 15, 20K. So I think a lot of it is, for example, like my business partner, like his fee is, I mean, he gets 10, he gets 15, he's got 20, 25. But his marketing also looks like that level. And we tell all our clients, it's just like, if you want to get out of the 5 to 10K range, you have to look like that, right? Yeah. Like you want meeting planners coming on a call, having just looked at your website and demo video and being like, hey, I'm excited to chat with this person. And also like, I know I'm going to be paying. And so it's not something that's super required early on, but that is certainly a, like, you can't have crappy marketing material and be quoting 15, 20, 25, right? So that's something that's huge. Again, I think being really good on stage, because here's what I'm finding, Nishna, is like a lot of these meeting and event planners will talk. And so if you go and you crush it at an event at 15, 20, they're going to be talking to their meeting and event planners being like, hey, really good investment at 15, 20, or hey, not worth 15, 20, right? So you have to be really good on stage. And I think there's a lot of factors to that. There's the engaging factor. There's the problem solving factor. There's also like the making sure like you hit on what the meeting planner wants you to talk about factor, which I've messed up before, because the audience can love you, but if the meeting planner wants you to hit on A, B, and C, like they're not going to recommend you or book you again. So a lot of factors, I'd say marketing, branding, and positioning certainly play a role in it. And then something happens for a lot of speakers where the longer they're in the game, the easier it becomes, because people just like, they become like mini celebrities. Like there's a guy today that I'm looking to represent. I have a conversation with him tomorrow, and we got like a verbal confirmation for him for a gig in February. Like he speaks like 60, 70 times a year. And he's like, you know, he's up there 15, 20, 25. But people just like know him. Like he's just like, if you say his name, like most other speakers know him, and most meeting planners know him. And when you get to that level, everyone wants you, you know, everyone's like, yo, I got to get Aaron on my stage because I heard he's amazing. And so this buzz comes around you, you know? And I've seen that with a lot of speakers, you know, when they're at that level, people know them and high level meeting planners know them, and they'll go get them and they'll go throw 20, 25 at them.
Yeah. What do you recommend for people who struggle with confidence on stage?
Give me some more context there in terms of like, am I worth 15, 5 to 10? Or like, they're like even scared to just get up on stage.
Yeah. Like, so I literally know public speaking is like statistically the second greatest fear after death for people. And so beyond the imposter syndrome of like, oh, am I worth whatever amount, but actually the presence of being on stage in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing I say is, and I think when you get to a certain level, like when you're doing this professionally, I think it goes away. Like, put it this way, like I've had periods where like it'll go in seasons, and so I'll speak like 3 times in like 2 weeks. Like, dude, by the third speech, I'm just like, it's the same talk. I'm just like, bro, like I got this thing down. Like I'm gonna knock this out of the park, right? And so like reps helps, right? Like a lot of the speakers I know, they're speaking 50, 60 times a year, they're on the road once a week, but they're doing the same speech. So it's like they don't have to practice, like they know like the back of their hand.
Sure.
But they still have those nerves. And the thing that I say is like, you actually don't fear public speaking. Like that stat, it's like, you don't fear public speaking. What you fear is social ostracism, right? So social ostracism is a very primal fear. It's, I'm going to go up on stage, I'm going to bomb, and the group's going to hate me, and I'm going to get kicked out of the tribe. And getting kicked out of the tribe equates to, in our memory, in our minds, death pretty much. If I got kicked out of the tribe back in the day, like saber-toothed tiger was coming, like I was going to be dead. Right. So that's what I tell a lot of people. I think also on top of that, a lot of people have like past traumas and stuff that will come up when you're on stage and all eyes are on you. Cause it is a weird thing to like have people looking at you. Social media, dude, it's weird. It's like, people are watching me. Like they're, if I, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just weird for a lot of people. And I think for a lot of folks, like, you know, you try to speak up in fourth grade and your teacher shut you down. And now that's embedded in your subconscious. And every time you try to get up on stage, you know, like that comes up. So I think those are the two pieces. On top of that, I think there are some people that are just petrified of it and they hate it, like can't do it. Those usually are the folks that we're working with. And like for most of those people, like professional speaking is probably not a path for you. But I always ground myself in like, it's just the fear of social ostracism. And if you can kind of overcome that and be prepared, like dude, if you're prepared and you know, hey, I've prepped this thing, I'm ready to go, that helps so much. Of like, dude, I got the 45 minutes down. I go here, I go here, I go here, I go here. Let's just go roll with it. Preparation like really, really cures a lot of nerves.
Sure. Yeah. I do think it's like an exposure therapy thing. Like at least for me with being on social, I think getting up in front of people is still difficult. It's funny because I have more anxiety and fears when I get up like in front of middle schoolers and high schoolers than I do with like people my age, because I'm like, oh my gosh, they're at that age where they're probably roasting like the hell out of me in their heads. And like, yeah, I was terrified to go to the middle school that had a much smaller turnout than like my Utah thing, where it was like a grad program of 200 people who are like my age and up. I felt more comfortable there in terms of like the receptivity of what I was saying. So definitely, like, I think catering the talk to different audiences has been cool too. Like, typically with your speakers, do they speak across like a wide variety of demos, or do you really kind of like niche them down over time?
Yeah, I would say they start to get niched down over time, for sure. And like, there's certain speakers that, like, I have a speaker who's just like, he's just really good in the college market. College students love him. He loves speaking in the college market, and he's just like, he's really good. Like, he resonates really well with them, and there's certain topics that he can hit on. And also, again, this kind of goes down to the niching piece, is like, the speakers at a really high level usually have like one or two keynotes or topics that they're known for, they're getting booked for. And that's why they can charge 20, 25. So I think that's kind of like a quasi requirement. Again, like, some of our clients we work with, they come in like, this lady, she's great, she's going to be awesome, she's going to be very successful, this is for our consulting offer. And I was like, well, what do you speak about? She's like, well, I have like 12 topics. And I went to her website and I was like, dude, first thing we need to do is like cut this down to like no more than four, you know? And when we asked her, hey, what have you been speaking about? She's like, let me give you some of my past engagements. It all came down to leadership, communication, and mindset. It's like, okay, all those other topics, fucking get rid of them. And so, yeah, over time, speakers definitely get niched down. And I also think speakers grow, right? And this is even true for us at MII. It's like, high schools and colleges, middle schools, elementary schools, low-hanging fruit in terms of like, you can get in, you can speak for a couple grand. Right. Like, I know people who do that. They do it forever and they make really good livings there. They speak a lot, but like, they make multiple six figures. But like, for us, like, we started in the college market and we still do work in the college market. The majority of our work at this point, you know, is in the college market. But then you start to rise up, and then you start to get, once you get the social proof, then you get into an association, then you, you know, close a 20-25K opportunity, and you slowly then move into association and corporate market, which is more like the big boys, right? So I think that we see with a lot of speakers, like at all levels, hey, I started out speaking to a lot of colleges, speaking to a lot of local state associations. Now I'm really getting into corporate, into big associations and that stuff. A lot of speakers that are at a very high level started, I used to just speak to college sports teams. I was making 3-5K, whatever. Then I graduated to 7-10. Then I got in here. Now I'm at 15-20. And so they'll graduate and they'll have that specific topic and that talk that they honed, and they bring that to the market, and, you know, they have message to market fit there.
Amazing. Tell me about your favorite memory with an MII speaker that was just like that, maybe the highlight of your speaking experience so far with growing it out.
Yeah, I think a couple. And like, yeah, it's interesting, right? Because like, today was like, dude, today was like probably like one of the biggest days. I mean, we didn't get anything signed, but like, dude, we added a lot to the pipeline and like a lot of deals like that are probably going to close. But it's just different now. It's just like, and we talked about this, and it's just like, I don't know. And I've talked about this with my buddy, like, the early days are so fun, man. They're so exciting. They're so scary.
There's something else. They're like the golden days of
man. And like, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't go back, because like, making good money is sweet and not having to worry as much is sweet, but they really make you, you know, they really form and hone you as an individual. And so yeah, there was a time where I was like, shit, man, I got to close some deals. And I had one day where I think I like verbally confirmed two or three deals. And then I had that like three, like me personally had like a 3-week tour where like I spoke at a school on a Wednesday, flew back to Austin Thursday, flew out Friday, spoke at a school on a Saturday, then flew out like the next Monday to go speak at another school the next Wednesday. So that was pretty special. You know, there was a lot of times like, texting you that we had won a gig, or texting my friend CJ, or texting Caitlin Rose. That always is special and fun. And I think, yeah, there's so many going out to Marshall universities, like one of like smallest towns in Huntington, West Virginia. That was like really humbling and fun. And then, yeah, I mean, even now, you know, like starting to get bigger name speakers and, you know, people who like in a year or two, like we'll probably have people on our roster who it's like, it's a big name. Like I know that person,
yeah.
You know, we're in conversations with some of those folks. So I don't know, man, there's so many, there's so many. And it's kind of like we said, you know, last time, it's like, success is really subtle, you know, it really comes up to you really subtly. And, you know, a lot of things in my life now are pretty incredible and amazing. And, you know, what I would have dreamed about a year or two ago, and it's kind of just here, and it's life. Like, this is what it is, you know, like we said, you're hanging out with these people, you make this kind of money, you do this type of business, you work with these types of clients, and yeah, you kind of habituate to it. But it's important to remember those times, right? And the struggle and the come up, because that's what makes all of this that much sweeter and better.
Yes.
When you do get it.
It's a subtle integration where it's like you look around. I felt that strongly in LA. It's like, oh, these are just the conversations that are had. Like, yes, this is the type of money that's just expected. It's very, you do become habituated to it. And I think, what was I gonna say? I think really just looking back at like the fact that when we were just a few years ago, like 22 for me, or a couple years older than me, like when we started, that was almost maybe so out of reach, or like the goal is what we have now was like, oh, one day I'll make it. And then to have that be part of your reality. And like, I remember I would watch your stories and you would be posting your like, oh, like first time traveling for an event, and it'd be like a little airplane window, or you would post things where it was like the first milestones, like in MII. And it was just so cool to watch the unfolding of that, like to be on the journey with one of my friends who I'm like keeping up with the story, and it's like we're elevating together. And that was the coolest part.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best parts of even friendship in general, right? Is seeing someone grow, right? And like, you know, my buddy Logan, I don't know if you know him, but he's kind of slowly embarking on this new project. And I mean, in just other areas of his life where he's grown, you know what I mean? And seeing that is really inspiring to be around. And I think there's also a degree of, like, it all comes back to gratitude, right? To a degree, is like really just being grateful for the little moments. And yeah, man, like just everything. It goes for anything, you know, in relationships, I think is huge as well. You know, even like from a dating perspective, like just like, man, just being grateful for the little things about someone, telling someone what you like about them, telling someone what you appreciate about them. Like, that's really important. And you can't realize that until you have something where that isn't present, right? And like, we all know people who take stuff for granted or aren't grateful, but I really think that gratitude piece is super huge, man, of like, because it can, as you rise up, you can start to look at things as beneath you, or they're a chore, or that's not worth my time. And you do have to release some stuff, right? Like for years, it was like, man, I would get excited when I book a meeting, and I still do to a degree, but it was like, you lose it because your barrier was like, dude, I made money today. And I texted my business partner and I was like, dude, I like almost forgot that we made money today. Like, in a fucking year ago, I would have been like, oh my God, this is amazing. 100%. Like, I made, you know what I mean? So it's interesting.
Yeah. I want to leave you to just kind of drop like your social handles, MII social handles, website links, where people can find you. And if there's speakers listening to this already and you want to be represented by Joe, just, you know, I'll let you leave those links right now. And I'll include those in the box.
At the Joe Johnston on Instagram is going to be the best one. And also a preface that I'm not really representing anyone new right now, but if you are a speaker who has made some revenue from speaking, you know, maybe you're speaking once a month, or you're doing things fairly consistently and you're looking to scale up, particularly you're looking for more predictable gigs, feel free to shoot me a message on there. Probably be a good fit for a consulting offer. We have a couple different programs and levels there depending on where speakers are at. But yeah, at the Joe Johnston on social, and, you know, reach out, connect. I'm always down to have conversations. And like I said, I'll be doing more podcasts and kind of media stuff like this. So, I'm excited for that going forward as well.
Amazing. Thanks so much. This is really valuable because I know people need this, and that's why I wanted to have this conversation. I was like, people are going to need everything that you're saying right now. I think so many people are in this phase that I speak to of like, if they're already in the workforce, they're looking to transition out and do something a little bit more unconventional. They've always known they've been like meaning to speak on stages, or they are in high school and college and know like, hey, I do want to grow up and do speaking. But there's so much like, I think, nebulous information on how one enters this industry and really makes it in a sense. And so I think this is going to break it down a little bit more tangibly for people. So I wanted to thank you for your time. Everything's going to be in the description box below for our audience and listeners who do want to go find Joe, just learn more about MII. And Joe, thank you so much for being here and taking the time.
Thanks, homie. Appreciate you.
All right, everyone. I will see you all here in our next episode at Conversations with Nesta.